Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. You can catch up as you get there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with a few spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. Oh, I'm sorry. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. He didn't just sprinkle it. He didn't just bring it to where we were. He lavished it upon us. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, say me also.
Me also.
When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it in the praise, to the praise of His glory. That's a good word. That's a good word. We need to grasp that and understand the power of the Word of God and what He says and what He speaks about you and me, and how much He longs to be a real part of our lives. You see, the church is being gripped by an orphan spirit, by an isolated mentality that causes people to feel like, I'm all alone.
Come on.
If only I can find a good way out of this. And all the while, God the Father is right there ready, wanting you to be a part of His family.
Amen.
You see, we've got a real screwed up mentality. Can I use the word screwed up?
Yeah.
Okay. We got a real messed up. Let me fix it a little bit. Go PG. We got a real messed up mentality a lot of times when it comes to heaven. Right. We're like, I can't wait to get to heaven and meet God.
Come on.
I want to get to heaven and spend time with a God I already know. I'm viewing it as a family reunion to where I'm coming in line, not with the earthly family that has gone on before me. I'm glad they're there and I appreciate that, but I'm not looking for them when I get to heaven. I'm looking to spend time in the presence of my Father who loves me now and has made me a part of His family now. You don't know why? Because God wants to be our Father. He wants to be our Father. Did you know that? He wants, from the beginning, God has been about family. He didn't create robots. He didn't develop distant cousins. He wants sons and daughters. He has made us in His image. Our son, we were going through, we're homeschooling him, and he started second grade this week, and we went outside today, and we're talking about creation. And I asked him, I said, son, what did God create in His image? He said, everything, Daddy. I'm like, okay, I'll give you that, but specifically, what did God create? And he goes, us. I said, absolutely. He created us in His image. Let us make man in our image. We have been made in the image of God, meaning we got the DNA of our Father.
Yeah.
We carry the DNA of our Father.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we live and act like we carry the DNA of someone or something, of our favorite preacher.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate the ministry. I've got some favorite preachers, but ain't one of them died on the cross for me. Ain't one of them called me their son. We carry the DNA and the lifeblood of our Father. He made us in His image.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And He wants to be. He's a family man.
Yeah, come on.
Yes, he is.
He's not distant. You know what broke His heart? When the children of Israel says, "Hey, Moses, you go talk to that God. We will stay here while you..." I'm way off script. "You go talk to that God while we wait down here for you."
Yeah.
You know what God said to Moses? He said, "They're right. But oh, I wish they had a heart that would fear me and come to me.
Come on.
Oh, I wish they would respond to
me.
I wish they would come. What I want, I didn't bring them out of Egypt to leave them in the desert wandering. I brought them out of Egypt to bring them unto myself to have family." And he said, "As a result, I got to give them this law that I never wanted to give them in the first place. I've got to give them something to try to help them understand what they're missing. I want to know them.
Hallelujah.
And I want them to know me. I want family, Moses." And then he got so agitated, he goes, "Moses, I'm going to wipe them out and start over with you so I can have family."
Yeah.
Moses says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, easy."
Truth.
I wonder how many of us important people today would have said, "That sounds good, God.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Come on."
Yeah.
How many of us will be as humble as Moses and say, "Oh, wait, wait, easy, God. I don't think that's wisdom. Do not start over with me." Most of me are like, "Hey, that sounds good. I'm already the best there is. I'm glad you recognize it, God."
Woo!
Wow.
I know none of you ever thought that. And so, I'm not talking to anybody here, but what I sometimes when I say those funny statements, I'm giving you ammunition for the people who need to hear it. Because I know it doesn't apply. The greatest discouragement oftentimes for God is when we view Him only as Creator.
Yeah, come on. Come on now.
He wants more.
He's the Creator. Oh, He's distant.
Yeah.
Oh, He's the man upstairs.
Right. Come on.
The disciples came to Jesus and they said, "We need a favor." They asked for a lot of favors. Once in a while, it was a good one. He said, "We have a request. Can you teach us to pray?" Can you teach us to pray? He said, "I can do that."
Come on.
And if you can just focus on the first two words of the prayer He taught them, your mind will be blown and your life will be revolutionized.
Yeah.
Because Jesus looked at these guys, this ragtag group of 12, that nobody really wanted.
Yeah.
He says, teach us to pray. And He said, "Well, here's how you do it. You tilt your head, you fold your hands, and you call out like this. O thou that dwellest between the cherubim above, O thou high and lofty and distant and unknowable great Creator of all things, I bow my knee before thee this hour." Sounds right, doesn't it?
Right.
Jesus messed with them. It had to wreck their theology for a minute. Think about what they're used to seeing. Think about it. They're watching this man, Jesus, every day in deep connection with the Heavenly Father.
Come on.
In deep connection with God. Saying everything that He says, I say. Everything that He does, I do. Watching this man heal the sick.
Come on.
Watching this man preach with authority and demons leave bodies.
Uh-huh.
Watching this man operate in a way unlike anything they had ever seen. They're like, this guy knows God.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And He says to them, when you pray, say this,
right.
Our Father. In other words, fellas, the same way I know Him is how He wants you to know Him.
Yeah.
In other words, fellas, the way you see me interacting with my Father is the way He desires for you to interact with Him. He wants to be your Father the same way He is mine. So don't say, "Oh, great Father of Jesus."
Come on.
Say,
"Our
Father." We can approach God the Father in the same manner as Jesus the Son. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of the King, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And He hasn't called us to approach Him and view Him as some created, lofty being, but He wants us to view Him and approach Him as our Father in heaven, who has done all things that are good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly light.
Come on.
Jeremiah 3, verse 19, God says this: "How gladly would I treat you like sons and give you a desirable land." God's not wicked.
No.
He's not withholding. I heard somebody say one time, "Why is it that I feel like God's up there in heaven with a magnifying glass between me and the sun trying to burn me?" That's not God. That's not who He is. He's good. "How gladly would I treat you like sons and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me." God desires us to know Him in that way. There's an old song that used to be sung, and if this offends you, if you like this song, I don't mean it in a bad way, but "Immortal, invisible, God only wise."
Come on.
All the way up there, unknowable. Man, that's not who He is.
No. Come on.
He's personal.
Come on.
Everything else He spoke into existence, but you He formed with His hands.
Yeah. Come on, that's right. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
We've all had God lay His hands on us at least once. The Father delights in blessing us. For the purpose, He says here, "I will give you good land." The purpose of His blessing isn't to turn us away from Him. Not a pie in the sky, not a get out of hell free, or not a sugar daddy above.
Right. Oh, come on.
But to turn us toward Him.
Yeah.
Right. I quoted James 1 already a moment ago. "Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadow." In other words, He doesn't love you greatly today and despise you tomorrow.
Yes. Right. Come on.
His love for you is always the same.
Yes.
Circumstances may go up and down and in and out, but the way God's love as your Father is always the same.
Amen.
But we've oftentimes listened to the liar, the father of lies, who tries to convince us we're no good, that we're nothing, or we've allowed man to curse us and to speak things about us or against us that keeps us trapped and bound and unable to get to the place that God has for us. You see, God has an inheritance and a plan for you and for me. Jesus says, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms."
Amen.
Meaning, He's making a way and making a place for you and me.
Amen. Come on.
But oftentimes we listen to the wrong voices.
Amen.
Oftentimes what we do is we allow people to describe us instead of our Father to define us.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Woo! Let that one sink in a moment. We'll say it again so you can chew on it. We allow people to describe us.
Well, he's big.
Right.
"Well, that guy's no good. I knew his daddy. His daddy was an idiot. I know he's an idiot, too."
Come on.
Come on.
You heard that one, haven't
you?
And so we allow people to describe us instead of the Father being able to define us and say who we are.
Yes. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example, scripturally. You remember the story with Dinah, and how the man from the other tribe, the other group, treated her wrongfully, sexually, and her brothers
Simeon and Levi, they were angry. Actually, all the brothers were angry. They're like, we got to do something about this. So they convinced the men that they needed to be circumcised so that they could then share and their, you know, it's become connected with spouses and families. And so all the men were like, that sounds good to us. So they got circumcised. And on the third day, as they were healing from circumcision, Simeon and Levi go in among them and they kill them. You remember that story? And then when Jacob and all of his children, they get reunited with Joseph in Egypt, and Jacob's about to die. Jacob's about to die. He calls all of his sons in and he's going to speak a blessing and an inheritance over them. You remember that? And he says a lot of different things about the different sons. And in Genesis 49, he says, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel. O my glory, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. In other words, they were cursed.
Right.
Levi stepped into a place of cursing from his earthly dad. His dad said, you're no good, you're violent. I don't want to come near you. I want you to be separated. And there was a curse that was spoken in the natural, and he was described by his dad as being violent and cruel and evil. It'd be a bad day, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
As your dad's laying there dying, the last thing he says, you're cruel, you're wicked, you're violent. In fact, some of you that have heard those kind of words from your earthly parent or someone in authority over you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break all that off of you.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
I break all that off of you.
Yes.
That those curses that have been spoken would be reversed and go back to the pit of hell from where they came.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
But Levi was put into that position, and then later on, when they created the fashion, the golden calf, and Moses got angry, he's down there among them and he says, who is on the Lord's side?
Amen.
Whoa, come on.
Guess who stepped up?
Come on.
And defended the honor of his father.
Right. Come on.
It was Levi.
Amen.
And you know what God said? God said, nope, you're cursed. Don't want you.
Nope.
That's how a lot of us think, isn't it?
Come on.
Right.
Well, what others say about us must be what God thinks about us.
Uh-oh.
Come on.
Come on.
Wow. I'm going to live with the understanding that the way I'm described by my friends or my pastor or my Sunday school teacher or my aunt and my uncle who, you know, they seem to have the Holy Ghost, so they must be right. And I'm going to allow myself to realize that God must think the same as them. They must have been speaking the word of the Lord.
Right. Come on.
Amen.
And we put ourselves in bondage.
Right.
And we think that since somebody has said something poorly about us, that that means God thinks the same and we're never going to be of any use to Him. That's a lie.
Yeah. Come on.
That's a lie.
Come on.
And it's destructive.
Yes, it is.
What? And it's hurting the church.
Yes, it is.
And there are people sitting in churches every week who have an incredible call of God on their lives,
yes,
but they can't get out from under a curse that's been spoken over them by somebody else because they've allowed themselves to believe that God must think the same. But I'm telling you, His thoughts are not our thoughts.
That's
His ways are not our ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high are His thoughts towards you and me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
So here's what was really said. And the sons of Levi in somewhere in Exodus, I lost my track. Oh, there it is, 32. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said here's what Moses says. Today, the curse is about to be reversed.
Yes. Yeah.
What had been spoken by the earthly father is about to be reversed by what's spoken by the heavenly father.
Come on.
Listen. Today, you have been ordained for the service of the Lord.
Amen.
Come on, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you Hallelujah. This day. Yes. In other words, they had been walking in a curse. But now the Lord gave them a blessing and a setting apart.
Yes.
Jacob had said to Levi, you won't have an inheritance with me. So God says, that's fine. I'll be your inheritance.
Yes. Yes. My goodness. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Come on.
Woo! We got to understand something. Our Father is our inheritance.
Yes.
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 You take God out of heaven, it becomes hell.
Right. Yeah, come on.
You put God in hell, it becomes heaven.
That's right. Come on.
Because it's His presence. It's His place. It's His person. It's our inheritance. I don't care about the streaks of gold. I don't care about the prophecy. I don't care about the rumor of the mansion depending on your translational preference.
Right. Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
I care about the one who's going to provide the light. There's not going to be a day or night or a sun, but He's going to be seated on the throne and we're going to be able to... Some of you may think you've been left out to dry, and others have said to you, no, you're nobody, you're nothing. But your Father in heaven said, you are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. You are the apple of His eye. And He, you know, we say this all the time, and we've let it become rote, but He loves you.
Yes.
And He's a good God.
Yes.
This is a big deal to our Father.
Yes.
For us to know who He is.
Yes.
It is a big deal.
Yes.
It is a big deal. Because when we know who He is,
uh-huh.
we will know who we are.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah, that's good.
My son is comfortable and growing comfortable more and more all the time, and he doesn't like it when I talk about it. And he's grinning at me. But he knows. He knows who his dad is.
Amen.
He knows me. And he knows I'm goofy. And he says all the time, he's just like me. And that makes us feel sorry for his mama. But the son, as my son, he represents and reflects his father, his dad. And no greater glory do I get than when he does that. And it's a relationship of mutual blessing. And I instruct him and I teach him and I raise him and he blesses me.
Amen.
And that's the relationship that Jesus came to establish. You know, you see, there's two reasons Jesus came to earth. Neither one of them is because he wanted to.
Right.
Necessarily. That may be reason number 7. But I'm going to focus on 2 for just a moment. And I'll finish up in a minute. Or 2. Jesus came for 2 reasons. One, we all know. He came to die on the cross, right? He came to redeem us from our sin.
Yes.
But the other one, the other reason he came that we often miss, he came to show us the Father.
Come on.
Yes.
That's the other primary reason he came. In John 14, I alluded to it earlier. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place that where I am there, I'm skipping a lot, I get that, but stay with me. Where I am there, you may be also. And they said, Thomas says, hey, wait, whoa, how do I know the way? He goes, dude, really? Really? Dude, you've been with me this long and you act like you don't know? I am the way.
Yeah, come on.
The truth and the life.
Woo!
And no man comes to the Father except through me. And they're like, well then, show us the Father.
Gee whiz.
Look at me.
He goes, do I have to start over?
Yeah.
I was reading in my own translation the other day, and Jesus literally says, you boneheads. I'm pretty sure. Are you still so dull? But he says to them, if you have seen me,
you've seen the Father.
You've seen the Father.
Yeah.
And then later he says, I'm going to send you another comfort of the Holy Spirit. And other doesn't mean someone's different, someone who's just like. You want to know who the Father is? Look at Jesus. You want to know who the Holy Spirit is? Look at
Jesus.
He represents...
Come on.
That's right. Amen.
If we have seen Him, we have seen the Father. And
yeah.
He came to show us the Father so that we can know that our Father in heaven really does enjoy us.
Amen.
Yeah. And He really does love us.
Amen.
Amen.
So much so that it pleased the Father to crush His Son.
Yeah, come on.
We've said for years, God, oh God, I can't look at what's happening to my son. But the Bible literally says it pleased the Father to crush him.
Yeah.
The Father delighted because He knew that what Jesus was doing was making it possible for the family He always wanted to be established.
Hey!
Yeah.
The law can't bring us to family.
No. Only
it
Jesus.
Brings us to ourselves.
Yeah.
Come on.
But Jesus brings us to the Father and brings us to family.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Through His Son, the Father revealed Himself in the clearest way possible. And I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I'm talking to you. Because the Father wants you as His child.
Yes.
Amen. Not your preachers.
That's right.
Not your demons or deacons. Sorry. It's a real fine line sometimes. But Jesus prayed. In John 17.
Wow.
Jesus prayed in John 17. He goes, Father, protect them. The ones You've given and the ones who will join the family, protect them.
Come on.
You think He was glad that Judas left the fold? No.
No way.
Family is key. Father, protect them. And He wants you and me to have relationship. You see, in Genesis, the issue of like, oh my gosh, because of sin, childbirth is hard. Oh my gosh, because of sin, I got to work the ground. Both of those are true, but that's not the real point of what happened.
No, come on.
It was the broken fellowship and relationship they had with their Father.
Come on.
That was the real issue.
Right.
That's the real issue. They lost fellowship with their Father.
Yeah, brother.
He comes back and he goes, Adam!
Come on!
Where are you? He goes, oh, we're hiding, dude. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. He goes, man, you've been naked the whole time. This is nothing new. I've been looking at your nudity day in and day out. It doesn't bother me.
Come on.
Quit looking at the outside like man does. But sin will cause us to feel the need to rely on our own productivity.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Right.
But relationship with the Father will allow us to walk in His provision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
And what this world does is cause us to focus on self and sin.
Right.
And we're like, we got to do enough to get to the Father.
Yeah.
And we religify it.
Oh, come on.
And we say things like, well, I'm just a lowly sinner saved by grace. I rebuke that nonsense in Jesus'
name. Come on,
man.
Amen. Yeah.
I am not a sinner saved by grace. Whereas I used to be in sin, in Christ, I am a new
creation.
Come on. But the world system and the lies of the enemy wants us to focus on what we can do to get what God has already given.
Come on.
And we live all of our lives trying to earn what the Father has already freely given to us.
That's right.
It would be akin to me buying my son his favorite Lego set.
Yeah.
and saying, here you go, son. He goes, oh, good, I've been saving my money for that one. And he puts it on the shelf and keeps saving to go and buy the same set that I've already
right.
given
Come
him.
Come on, amen. Oh,
yeah.
And because of sin and because of the things in our flesh, we're trying to earn what is freely given by our Father in heaven. Why? Because we're good? No, because He's good and He loves you in Him. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I'm not a servant trying to earn His favor. I'm a son of God who walks in the favor and the blessing and the provision of my Father in heaven.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm amazing? No, because He's that good. Our God is a good God. And He takes care of His children. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you might find. Knock, and the door will be open. For anyone who asks, anyone who seeks, for if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children,
come on now,
how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit
come on.
To those who ask Him?
Yes.
If we know how to give good things to our own children, why would we sit around and think, oh, I sure hope I earn something from God? No, He's your...
Come on, amen.
He's your Father who loves you. And I'm tired of living far below where He has said that I can live.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Right.
Not Matthew's Father in heaven. Not Keith's Father in heaven. Unless they're the ones praying now.
Yeah.
But if I'm praying, Father in heaven, and if we're praying, then we got to quit praying and start believing it.
Yeah. Yes. Come on.
That's good. Yeah.
A lot of our bondage is tied to the things we pray and sing every Sunday.
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, my gosh.
Because we don't believe those things.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Blessed insurance. Jesus is mine. Get out of hell free. I called on Him one time. That was a new one. Somebody write that down. That just came on the spot, man. I like that. I have to remember that.
Yeah.
Listen. God, will you do this? Listen, He gave His Son.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
What more does He have to do to show us the depth of His love?
Right.
Come on, oh, right. How high and deep and wide is the love of God.
Uh-huh.
Our Father.
Yes.
He's bonkers over you and me.
Come on.
That's right. Yes, He sure is.
He loves us so much. And I don't want to live my life being identified with the man I used to be. I don't want to live my life being identified with who others think I am. I want to live my life walking in the identity of who my Father says that I am.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is a good God.
Hallelujah.
And He delights in glorifying His Son in and through our lives. We serve an amazing Father in heaven.
Right.
And no good thing, no good thing does He withhold
right.
from those who walk uprightly before Him.
Thank you, Lord.
No good thing. God's challenge for me over the last several months is for me to come to the place of knowing who I am. And I'm not talking about being arrogant.
That's right.
That's not what I mean. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance.
Yes. Yeah. Right on.
It's okay to be confident in who you are. In Isaiah 14, the king of Babylon, who likely is referencing Nimrod, he says five times, I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Five different times. So flesh is always trying to aspire.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus never said, I will do anything. He just said, I am already.
Yeah.
Well, you're arrogant. No, he's confident. He knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. Well, easy for him to say. And he said that you and I can say the same thing.
Yeah. Come on.
So we can walk knowing that we are sons and daughters of God. We're not grandsons and granddaughters. We're not great nieces and great nephews. We are sons and daughters of God. And when we begin to understand that, and we begin to walk in understanding of family and who we are in Him, it will revolutionize our lives. It will revolutionize our earthly natural families. It will revolutionize our churches, our communities, our society. It will change everything. Because He's not ashamed to be called our God. And I'm not ashamed to be called His son.
Yes.